Hello and welcome to this live recording of Triumph 1621, Reconstructing the Sun in Aries by Thomas Middleton. This is mostly an uncut recording of the 12 p.m. show, our first show of the day, from various outdoor recording positions that have been edited together into one track. It was not an ideal day to record on. It had rained for most of the morning, though this performance was dry. Our equipment was still largely covered in plastic. A few sections have been taken from other parts of the day for technical reasons. There will be a spoilers episode of the podcast coming out next year, where we will explicate a bit about what's going on in the original show as the text survives to us, as well as more background about this production itself. You can also go to our website, where there are photos and links to videos about the show, or there will be very shortly. The show begins with the wonderful music of Pasamezzo, before our crier, Aliki Chapel, oieses the audience into submission, and Alexandra Kataguida, performing the text of Thomas Middleton, explicates the action of the show. We present our live outdoor reconstruction of The Sun in Aries by Thomas Middleton, performed from 12 p.m. on Friday the 29th of October 2021, 400 years after the original performance in 1621.
As I walked through Cheapside, to mine eyes there was presented as great a sight as e'er I saw, which much mine eyes were tempted. First lord of mayor and his steed, with gay trappings gay indeed. Something there was more than need, more to see, I well consented. Was the next day of the silent news, as I did many a blazing comet I knew, which made me for to doubt me. Maybe some prestigious sight should appear feeble and bright, and as I guess it fell outright, but I hope no man will doubt me. A crew of wild men, wild indeed, who would be so ill-employed there, would put the people in such a fear, that some of them their homes avoid there, with such a smell and such a smoke, that I really was like to choke. Many a wildfire cracker broke, but powder was destroyed there. All the company array, most trimly were attired, in their accoutrements most gay, but some of them retired. Whifflers with pink whiffling chains, and marginal men that saw great hate, they swore they'd beat out poor men's brains, that were with dirt divided. Next a sheriff and alderman gay, upon their slow-paced horses did ride, in equipage most gay. For some wished them in their purses, all their chains they had thereon. Gold-tipped horse and man adorned, that there was no difference but the horn. They took such equal horses. In sundry places the players, boys, unto the lord there, made speeches, I could hear nothing but a noise. Those damn bells make some breaches. But what that you told me a word, that one of them desired my lord that he and Easter would afford the blue coat boys to have new riches. Girls and boys in anti-shapes sat upon the pageant gallery. The one represented Jack and Nate, and the other was like a lady. Sure the porters' backs were strong, for they did bear them through the throng. And thus they marched all along, and as gallant as sword and baby. The form I delight when I had seen more than my mind can utter, out of the throng I fain would have been. I was so dazzled in the gutter, but as a stroke, crossed my purse, which caused me to ban and curse. I played a pot, taken there and forth, and I hied me home to supper. Joy in the gates of London town, peace be to England. Joy in the gates of London town, peace be to England. Joy in the gates of London town, peace be to England.
Travelling down to the river, getting on barges, and up river to Westminster, from there back to St. Paul's, and then along Cheapside, where fabulous pageants were presented all along Cheapside.
That's Cheapside!
Literally there, this road.
Now, we can't process, but we can pretend to. All we need is a crowd of eager Londoners!
Yay. Let's be even more eager Londoners!
Yay. You need to know two things. One, how to process. It looks like this. And two, I think you might know how to do this already, how to make a loud noise! Yay.
Morning of the 29th of October, 1621, and a great crowd, that's you, has gathered outside the Guildhall, which is the building behind that one, awaiting the arrival of the incoming Lord Mayor, Edward Barker. Gowned members of the great 12 livery companies, musicians, and followers, that's you, make their way down to the riverside.
Let's process!
Eagerly, very nice. Now, by the Thames, there is a spectacular water show. Yes. There are trumpets blaring, and cannons roaring, and the noise is thunderous!
Let's make noise!
So the Lord Mayor and the procession get on barges and are rowed up the Thames to Westminster. Westminster.
Where the Lord Mayor will be sworn in.
In the morning as they go to court, the Thames with wood is covered. Loud music plays, gods give report. The sun with smoke is smothered.
I, Edward Barkham, do swear by almighty God that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to the most high and mighty Prince James, by the grace of God, King of England, of Scotland, France, and Ireland, the faith's defenders, his heirs and successors, according to law.
Ooh. Having been sworn in, the Lord Mayor gets back on the barge and is rowed over to St. Paul's.
The old St. Paul's
Cathedral, where he is greeted by the first triumph.
The first triumph! What did it look like?
The first triumph was a chariot, most artfully framed and adorned, bearing the title of the Chariot of Honor, in which chariot many worthies were placed that had got trophies of honor by their labors and deserts. There was Hercules, with his Ne Plus Ultra upon Colossus of Silver. There was Conquering Alexander with a golden globe. And there was Caesar with a gilt laurel.
But speaking was Jason! With his illustration of honor, the golden fleece, we present the Chariot of Honor and Jason!
Be favorable, fates, and a fair-ish sky. Smile on this expedition. Phoebus, I look cheerfully. The bark is under sail for a year's voyage, and a blessed gale be ever with it. 'Tis for justice bound, a coast that's not by every compass found, and goes for honour, life's most precious trading. May it return with most illustrious lading, a thing both wished and hoped for. I am he to all adventurous voyages, a free and bountiful well-wisher, by my name hight Jason, first adventurer in fame, which now rewards my danger and o'ertops the memory of all peril or her stops. Assisted by the noble hopes of Greece, which I from Colchis fetched the golden fleece, am one of the first brothers on record of honour got by danger. So, great lords, there is no voyage set forth to renown that doth not meet with skies that frown, with gusts of envy, billows of despite, which makes the purchase once achieved more bright. State is a sea. He must be wise indeed that sounds its debt, or can the quicksands heed. And honour is so nice and rare a prize, 'tis watched by dragons, venomous enemies. But as I, with my assisting Argonauts, did try the utmost of adventure, and with bold and constant courage brought forth the fleece of gold. So, man of merit, never faint or fear. Thou hast the assistance of brave senators here, thy worthy brethren, some of which have passed all dangerous gulfs, and they can instruct and guide each one that must adventure and are coming on to this great expedition. And they will be cheerful and forward to encourage thee, and blessings fall in a most infinite sum, both on those past thyself and those to come.
Applause for Jason!
The second triumph,
the Brazen Tower, or the
possessions are fine gold. Integrity keeps the key. Virtue being, as it were, a brazen wall to a city or commonwealth. And to illustrate the prosperity it brings to a kingdom. Upon the gilded battlements thereof stand six knights.
These six virtuous knights, you can see all six of them, right? These six virtuous knights guard the Tower of Virtue, in which stands Fame. Fame, salute the Lord Mayor.
Welcome to Virtue's fortress, strong and clear. Thou art not only safe, but glorious here. It is a tower of brightness, such is truth, whose strength and grace feels a perpetual youth. The walls are brass, and the pyramids fine gold, which shows to safeties and prosperity's hold. Clear conscience is lieutenant, providence there, watchfulness, wisdom, constancy, zeal, care, are the six warders. Keep the watchtower sure that nothing enters but what's just and pure. Four, which affect both to affright and shame all slothful bloods that blush to look on fame. An ensign of good action each displays, that worthy works may justly own their praise. And, which is clearest to be understood, thine shines amidst thy glorious brotherhood, circled with arms of honour by those past, as now with love's arms by the present graced. And, how thy word does thy true worth display. Fortunae mater, diligentia, fair fortune's mother, all may read and see, is diligence, endeavouring industry. See here the glory of illustrious acts, all of thy own fraternity, whose tracts 'tis comely to pursue all thy life's race, taking their virtues as thou holdest their place. Some college founders, temple beautifiers, whose blessed souls sing now in celestial choirs, erectors some of granaries for the poor, though now converted to some rich men's store. The more the aged misery, some so rare for this famed city's government and care, they kept the seat 4 years with a fair name, some six. But one, the miracle of fame, which no society or time can match, 24 years complete. He was truth's watch. He went so right and even that the hand of that fair motion bribe could ne'er make stand. And as men set their watches by the sun, said justice but by which that he has done. And keep it even. So, from men to men, no magistrate need stir the works again. It lights into a noble hand today, and has passed many, many more it may.
Hey, what noise is this? Wakes me from ruin's womb. Bless me, time, how brave am I become? Fame fixed upon my head, beneath me, round, the figures of illustrious princes, crowned as well for goodness as for state by birth, which makes him true heirs both to heaven and earth. Just six in number, and all blessed names. Two Henrys, Edward, Mary, Eliza, James, that joy of honest hearts. And there behold, his honored substitute, whom worth makes bold to undergo the weight of this degree. Virtues, fair edifice, raised up, like me. Why, here's the city's goodness in both still. When they restore ruin, 'tis their will to be so noble in their coursing care, all blemish is forgot when they repair. For what has been re-edified of late, but lifts its head up in more glorious state. 'Tis grown a principle. Ruins, built again, come better both in monuments and men. The instance is apparent. On then, Lord. E'en at thy entrance, thou's the great man's word. The noblest testimony that ever Lord had when he first stood forth presented by the city. Lose not then a praise so dear, bestowed not on all men. Strive to preserve this famous city's peace, begot by yon first king, which does increase now by the last, from Henry that joined roses, to James that unites kingdoms, who encloses all in the arms of love, malice of none. Our hearts find that, where neighboring kingdoms groan, which in a magistrate's duty may well move a zealous care, in all thankful love.
Let's hear it from the Tower of Virtue!
Here comes the company, Lord McCourt. Here comes the Lord Mayor. Your barons, your knights, and also your squires, give room for gentlemen. Here comes the Lord Mayor.
So the Lord Mayor leaves the new standard and processes along to where Cheapside meets St. Lawrence Lane. Where it used to meet St. Lawrence Lane. There we present the third triumph.
The third triumph!
A mountain, most artfully raised and replenished with fine woolly creatures.
Fine woolly creatures!
Budget showed Phoebus Apollo, god of the sun, on the top, shining in full glory, being circled with the 12 signs of the celestial zodiac. The Aries is placed near the principal rays, the proper sign for illustration. Thus, Aries greets his lordship.
Great thoughts, joy, and alacrity of heart. Bless thy great undertaking. 'Tis the part and property of Phoebus with his rays to cheer and to illumine good men's ways. Eagle-eyed actions that dare behold his sparkling globe depart, triad all like gold. 'Tis bribery and injustice, deeds of night that fly the sunbeam that make good works bright. Thine look upon it and dazzle, as one beam faces another, as we match a gem with her refulgent feather. From thy worth example sparkles as a star shoots forth. This mount, the type of eminence and place, resembles Majesty's seat and grace. The sun, the magistrate himself implies, these woolly creatures. All the part which lies under his charge in office, not in fate. Since kings and rulers are in holy writ, with shepherds parallel, nay, from shepherds reared, as people and the flock oft cohere. Now, as it is the bounty of the sun to spread his splendours, and make gladness run over these drooping creatures. Go on, stand up straight. You, stand up straight. It ought so to be his proper virtue, that as unto justice his life's flame shot from above, to cheer, pressing right with looks of love, which, nothing doubted,
truth's reward light upon you. The beams of all clear comforts shine upon you.
Let's hear it for Ares!
The procession continues. We are off for a great feast at the Guildhall.
Om nom 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 nom.
The honored mayor of London a second feast ordains, by which the worthy citizen much commendation gains. For laws and judges of the land and knights of good request, to Guildhall come to countenance Lord Mayor of London's feast.
After the feast, his lordship returns to St. Paul's Cathedral to hear a divine service. Which belong to the faithful discharging of so high an office, the graces and virtues each at night bearing a bright burning taper in her hand to signify as a manifestation of purity. His lordship being inside and drawing near the entrance, Fame speaks.
I cannot better the comparison of thy fair brotherhood's love than to the sun after a great eclipse. For as the sphere of that celestial motion shines more cheer after the interposing part is spent than to the eye before the darkness went over the bright orb. So their love is shown with a content past expectation, a care that has been comely, and a cost that has been decent. Cheerful, which is most fit for the service of so great a state, so famed a city, and a magistrate so worthy of it. All has been bestowed upon thy triumph, which has clearly showed the loves of thy fraternity as great for thy first welcome to thy honoured seat. And happy is cost requited then, when men grace triumphs more than triumphs men. Diamonds will shine though set in lead. True worth stands always in least need of setting forth. What makes less noise than merit or less show than virtue? To see undeservers owe to all vain glory and to rumour still, building their praises on the vulgar will. All their good is without them, not their own, when wise men to their virtues are best known. Behold yon fountain with a tripled crown, and through a cloud a sunbeam pierces down. So is the worthy magistrate made up. The triple crown is charity, faith, and hope, those three celestial sisters. The cloud too, that's care. And yet you see a beam strikes through. A care discharged with honour, it presages, and may it so continue to all ages. It is my brotherhood's arms, how well it fits both thee and all, for truth's honour sits. The time of rest draws near. Triumph must cease. Joy! joy to thy heart, to all a blessed peace.
In Triumph 1621, a reconstruction of The Sun in Aries by Thomas Middleton. Thomas Middleton was played by Alexandra Katagida. The crier was Aliki Chapel. Jason was Charlie Beer. Fame, Holly Bartlett-Giles. The Standard, Daniel Yabbott. Aries, Quinn Scott. Music by Passamezzo, led by Tamsin Lewis, with Adrian Woodward, Richard De Winter, and Robin Jeffrey. The Lord Mayor, Edward Barkham, was performed by Gregory Musson. The stage manager was Valentina Vinci. Assistant stage manager, Liza Graham. The pageant master was Robert Crichton. And city chronologer, Tracy Hill. Additional assistance by Kirsten Grunwald Hope and Emma Kennedy. The whifflers for the production, keeping the audience safe and hearty, were Hayden McCabe, Rob Meissen, Emma Kemp, Bryony Sparrow, and Polly Hall. Carrying various signs throughout the show, carrying the Guildhall was Helen Good, Westminster was Stephen Longstaff, St Paul's, Elizabeth Amissu, The Standard, Angela McShane, and St Lawrence Lane, and the personification of six complete knights all in one, was Tom Helsby. Special thanks to Joe Fawcett for additional recording equipment for this show. Triumph 1621 could not have happened without the generous support of the SRS Public Engagement Scheme, Bath Spa University, St Mary-le-Bow Church, and Cheapside Business Alliance. I've been your host, Robert Crichton. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.